Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to episode 148, and I'm super excited. I followed him for years, and I learned some of my growth marketing chops from him. I have Sujan Patel, and today we're going to be talking about how he had built an eight-figure bootstrap SaaS company from scratch. Now, being bootstrapped doesn't mean that you have to stay small. Now, Sujan Patel, co-founder of Mailshake, can tell you all about that. He built an eight-figure SaaS company without taking any funding at all. In episode 148, you learn how Sujan first successfully rebranded contentmarketer.io to Mailshake. And if you've ever done any rebranding, you know how hard that is. Second, you learn how Sujan drove over 100,000 organic visitors with content marketing. And third, how he generated over 40% of new signups from Mailshake through referrals. Now, before we get started, I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode. Now, this folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. This episode of Growth Marketing Today is brought to you by Partner Stacked. It's G2's number one rated partner management platform. Fully support your partner marketing, referral, and reseller channel programs all from a single platform. Take the admin work out of your workflows and focus on partner success and scale. Now, if you're ready to scale revenue through partnerships, visit get.partnerstack.com/GMT to book a free demo today or find the link in the description right now. Well, let's jump into my chat with Sujan. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Growth Marketing Today podcast. And I'm excited because I've read a ton of his blog posts and watched his videos before, and we just chatted on LinkedIn. Now I have Sujan here. He is the founder of Mailshake and a bunch of other SaaS companies. He also owns a McLaren 600LT based out of Austin. How's it going? How are things with you today?
Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to talk to you. I feel like I've been listening to your voice and you interview folks for a while, so excited to be on the other end of it.
Yeah, same here. I mean, like I said, I've been a fan, and when you reach out, it's like, oh my goodness, he's reaching out to me. He just messaged me. That's one of those moments.
I'll tell you a quick side story here. I just got my first like internet celebrity moment. So it's somebody who follows me on Twitter's wife. Just started her freelance career as a content marketer, content writer. And she's like, the husband's like, hey, can you make a cameo style video for my wife to just to encourage her? I'm like, I'm in, you got it, dude. Anyways, I was like, oh, I officially have made it to cameo famous, you know?
That's, and how did she react? Like, was it?
She was pumped. It was over email. So I don't know if like her actual reaction, but like, she was just super ecstatic and pumped. Yeah. So, you know, cool to do that. I didn't know that was the, you know, I didn't sign up for this.
That's so funny. There's that app where like famous people can do like cameos and people pay them to do it. So you should get on that. I'm sure people will pay for it.
And now I need to join. It's called Cameo. So I need to go. Now I need to join it. I'm gonna charge $1 per video, like motivational. Like video.
Next business idea, man. Like next to all the ones that you already have. I mean, before we get into all the stuff you're doing and product marketing, other stuff like that, I gotta ask. You own a bunch of motorcycles. You own this amazing McLaren car. Like you must have gone on a road trip and. I got to ask, like, what's your favorite like trip you've done? Like, or it could even be a road like that's curvy that just really feels great.
Oh yeah. I mean, I do a lot of, you know, it's a great question because I do a lot of back road driving pretty much every Saturday or Sunday. I'll do like a 3 to 4 hour stint, wake up really early and just go drive the windy roads around kind of the hill country of Austin. But I'd say my favorite road trip, long trip was kind of, I went from San Francisco to Minnesota, and I try to do it without any highways. So every parallel road that gets me across the state, that's not a highway, AKA I can go as fast as I want. I'm not admitting to any speeds, but let's just say, you know, I went as fast as I wanted, you know, it was safe. well, what made me feel safe. And so I did it in an V10 R8. So just super fun. It was a manual. It was just freaking amazing. Amazing ride, amazing drive. Had a lot of fun. But I do a lot of track days. I think I have the most fun doing that. So I go to Circuit of America, which is like the F1 track for US. I pretty much, get to get my adrenaline out, and it re-energized me to live and work hard.
That's such a good transition to what gets you up. I looked in your LinkedIn, man, like Mailshake, Ram Ventures, Web Profits, Norbert, Pick, like all active on LinkedIn. Like, what gets you excited to work on the things that you do?
Yeah. So, I love just growing companies, just seeing traffic go up, revenue go up, I just like growth, right? It's fun for me. The money's great. That's amazing. But like, that's a byproduct of just like what's exciting for me is like take something from whatever to be better, right? And the path to do that. And then just, I like kind of solving problems. And I like being the underdog. I like when it's just so difficult that it's like impossible. It feels impossible. And then like the next day, another month, another year, it's like, oh, you made it forward. And it was like, it feels impossible, but a little less impossible now. Right. So, and then like, 5 years in, it's like, oh, that impossible. I just did half of that impossible challenge. It's totally possible now, but now let's go after something even harder. Right. So, I like the challenge. I like the hunt. I like the growth, and, running multiple companies is a lot of fun for me because, although I learned at an early age, I like to switch. I can switch gears. I ran a marketing agency and worked at a lot of matrix organizations where I was I ran a marketing team or an SEO department that serviced a lot of businesses or business units. And so I kind of like a marketing team that did a bunch of things, kind of like an agency. And I liked it because I can switch gears. And so let's put it this way. This is the content strategy for Mailshake. Okay. Hey, VP of marketing content team, like, let's go do this. And here's my contribution to it, right? I might write a couple outlines. I might write a couple blog posts or along the way. But while that's happening, like to get growth, that takes maybe 6 months. So while the team is executing that strategy, the very next day, I can go move on to another company and talk about something completely different and go do that strategy, right? And so like every day, every week, I'd say there's a milestone that we've achieved. And there's also, here's what you don't hear about a lot of times is there's always a fire to put out, right? It sucks, it's hard at first, but then you get over it. You're like, oh, there's always a fire to put out. Like, and some of these fires are like big, right? Could be some data issue, like something breaking, I feel like these fires, I always wake up to them. They never happen when I'm actually working, unfortunately, right? Like a few years ago, Google accidentally like shut down our API access, like completely mistake. One of their like freelance contractors, like pressed the wrong drop down button in the next step of our application process. They're like, you've been approved to use the Google API. Your API is like the next email, your API has been shut down. I'm like, what? And that was like, I think on my anniversary, and I just bought a very expensive car. I'm like, oh crap. Good thing this thing just killed my business. Probably bought the most expensive car I've ever purchased. And it's my wife and I's like 10-year anniversary. And the business like existential risk just happened by accident. But anyways, when that happens enough, you're just like, cool, I know how to deal with this stuff. And it becomes like no big deal, right? And so what I put it this way is like, it's like dealing, like, when you get off a treadmill and you just walk fast, like, oh, this is like easy. It's that, right? It's like, oh, this is like, I'm walking faster. It's not much work, right? So that level of like discomfort makes you just operate on another level. And I love the outcome of that happens. Don't get me wrong. I hate dealing with fires. It's hard. It's painful. But I can tell you, I have very little to no emotional reaction to it. I sleep just as well knowing that, and again, like we also have like learned to operate better every time we fail or something happens. We're like, oh yeah, we can't operate this way anymore. We have to do this, that, the other safeguard to make sure this doesn't happen again, right? So not making the same mistakes twice, at least not often.
Makes a ton of sense. And like you were talking about treadmill, but also like it's like working out. Like you can't grow muscle like if your muscle doesn't get ripped up a little bit and feel a little bit of pain. For people tuning in, like you're working out, it looks like you're wearing workout clothes. You just went to the gym and you look obviously ripped.
I just went to the gym. Thanks. I just went to the gym. Unfortunately, I have like this crazy life in terms of how busy my day is. And I have this problem and it's an addiction to like not working, but I love what I do. So I just do more of it. So like I've got a side project that like, I don't need a side project, but I've just got one that's like a family mission type of situation of like helping more females and women in technology and engineering is like, that's kind of our family goal. But anyways, so I have three kids. And so like, I have to live my life, have fun, work, you know, go to the bathroom around the schedule of my kids. And so, unfortunately working out, I'm like, I'm going to exercise. Cause like it's, you know, mental, when I work, I exercise my brain. And I read, I like learn and level up my brain. I'm going to exercise my body and it's going to eat into my work hours, but I'm going to be way more productive for it. And I don't care. It's just going to happen. So, you know, up until 8:30 AM, the time is for my family. After 8:30 to 10, 9:30 is for me, my body. And then after that's for work stuff. And yeah, so that's kind of the question you didn't ask, my routine.
That's cool.
I guess
it's good to see that. I mean, I love how you said earlier that you're addicted to growth, and we're going to talk about growing companies because you're obviously growing your own company, but you've helped a ton of companies grow their companies as well. Let's talk about that, and maybe like, can you, for people who are tuning in, they don't know where to start. Like, you must have a process now. Like, you have a repeatable process to help companies grow, particularly your own, but also as well as other companies. Can you share a little bit about like here your process into helping companies achieve that growth that you're addicted to?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm about to share is a lot only really applies to post product market fit. So like if you're like in product market fit, like this is not the right way to do things. We've got a lot of playbooks, right? And the great thing is when we learn something once, we can apply it to all of our companies. So like we level up way faster than most companies level up because like we fail, we try, we often five times as hard because we've got five different companies and five different teams and whatnot, right? So I always, my formula, and this is not really a secret sauce. It's just like, this is how we do it. The hard part is doing the work. Always build product. Yeah. So product-led growth is a foundation of the company, the growth engine, right? You put, surround that with content and helpful information around the problem you're solving or the problem that product is solving. And then what you end up doing is building a huge inbound funnel, right? And on top of that, you add in sales. So you add in sales, and like inbound sales, and then you, that sales function can expand to outbound sales, right? And that's it. Like I have three levers for growth: product and ease of use, usability is core to the actual business. Content marketing, starting at day zero. Like I'd say day zero is like the day the idea was formed, right? I started Mailshake. Originally, it was called contentmarketer.io, but I started Mailshake February 2015. Like March 1st, 2015, we launched a website and a blog. It was a shitty blog. It was shitty content, like up to my current standards, but we produced content March 2015 every week to now, right? And that's hundreds of pieces of content. And we've actually increased the velocity, like increased the volume. And some of those articles like no longer exist, obviously, because like they got merged into something else or whatever. But like, and we emailed our list every week for 5-6 years straight, right? So value, 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 value. And that's how we build a brand, right? And so I didn't talk about brand here, but that's, you know, a good, easy to use product that's, you know, again, product led in the sense of like easy to sign up. And you might look at like Mailshake or some of our companies like, hey, that doesn't fit the product led growth model. Like we have a credit card up front, but we've actually, it does, because it's still over 40% of our growth per month is coming from is coming from word of mouth. And we measure it, you know, friend referral, friend colleague, and it's, we can't beat that channel in terms of number of customers. And so anyways, the content is like expands that view quite a bit.
I have so that'll follow up. So Mailshake, you start blogging February, you said 2015. When did the product get built? Like, I'm really curious, like how far ahead you're just talking about like invest in content way early, but like how early was like the content being produced before even the product was out?
Probably 3 to 4 months, maybe more. So with March, we launched in mid-July of like version one, but we got product market fit like mid 2017, right? And so like over a year and a half of just content without having a fully figured out product. And the reason for that is that market. So so Mailshake started with me probably putting in 150K in my like actual hard cash and about another 100K or so in revenue I drove through the business, meaning like I launched a content marketing course, a couple like launches on that, and that generated 100K. And some, I forgot some other things, but like that was majority of it, right? So we're like, let's just go start marketing right now, right? Let's go do it. And if it doesn't work, well, you know, my background's in SEO. So I was like, it's going to work, you know, it's going to work. It's not going to work, right? And that's exactly what happened, right? Like it didn't work like month one, it didn't work month two, but when we launched, we had a 3,000 person email list just from having a vague homepage that says we're going to make content marketing better or something like some content promotion. I don't know, bold statement, right? Headline, sign up for updates. And everyone who signed up for updates got a blog post, an email. And it was like I'll tell you, the first like year, the emails were RSS driven, meaning when we published a blog post, the people got an email. And it was just so shitty, right? It was like the full length of the blog post, right? Killed deliverability, but it worked. Like, because every day, I've heard about this. And the reality is like, people told me, like, I was a fan, I was customer this date, or I was like reading about this. And like, and it's like, I like in my mind, I'm like, yeah, but the product didn't even exist. There's no way you could have used it, you know, but cool. You think you knew, you think you used the product for 6 years, good for you. Even though that existing product that you've used probably was only out for 4 years. But if you think you did, it's the right thing to think. Like that's the answer, right? And so it's from our content. It's from our brand. It's not from our actual product.
I mean, another follow up to that is like 3,000, dude, before even the launch. Like, how did like that? People struggle. Some people struggle to get that. But was it through your own personal brand? Like, were you running ads? Like, how do you get that list? Or was it just mainly through SEO and through like Google, people finding out through Google?
It was through content marketing and my personal brand. So I'd say like 60% was from my personal brand. And so I knew I wanted to do something I knew the category I wanted to play in for about a year, year and a half prior to launching. So I wrote a book on growth hacking with a friend of mine, and we promoted the hell out of it. We sold about 40,000 copies the first year or two. And so pre-log to the content marketing, I mean, to Mailshake launch for a year, we pushed this ebook and we built this big email list. And that was my personal brand. I was pushing it pretty hard. I did a lot of guest posts and I built my personal brand in about 2 years, consistently for 2 years. And then I was like, oh, I have enough of a list to like promote what I'm doing with Mailshake. And so we launched the email, but the other part of the other 40%, which I think was more relevant, was that because I got general marketing people or people interested in growth hacking, and we launched a content marketing tool. So not quite 100% like audience to customer or user. I also was doing guest blogging and content marketing like pretty much getting in the content community and driving that traffic back to Mailshake's homepage or blog. And so we built up our brand and email opt-ins, like 5 from this site, 20 from this site, like, but we just did it consistently, right? So my goal was like publish one blog, get a blog post published on Mailshake site once a week, get a blog post published, a guest post published on another site related to content marketing once a week. So I was like 100 pieces of content, right? Let's just go. And I'm so glad we did, because now the Mailshake blog, we can create almost any topic related to sales or content or marketing. And, you know, we kind of have that HubSpot effect. You publish something and you just start to rank. We don't typically rank page one immediately by just publishing something, but we're page two, and then we can work our way to page one.
Really, really.
So it's a strategic advantage.
Really fascinating. I mean, it sounds like you're putting a lot of content early on. Like, were you doing it yourself? Like, I mean, it sounds like something you would do, right? Like,
oh, yeah,
you're writing while you're working out. Is that what you were doing? Or like you had a system around like scaling content?
Yeah, so I had a process to write for like the longest time. I still use the same process. It's modified now, but I use this, like fundamentals of it. I would create content via audio. So I just like record on my iPhone, like, hey, blog post title, blah, blah, blah. And then I just rant for a little bit. And, you know, a 10-minute rant is like 1,000 to 1,500 word post. And then I'll have someone transcribe it. It was like a college student. And then they would highlight the things that like were me rambling or like needed more details, and that like add comments. And so like, and then I'd go add comments and maybe add an intro, and then an editor would clean all that crap up to make it flow way better. And so that was it. It was like 30 minutes of blog posts. Half of it was done wherever the hell I wanted to be. And a lot of times it was like, I have this idea. I'd be the crazy guy on the treadmill talking to my phone. You know, 5 ways to grow your blog, blah, blah, blah. Number one, outreach, and people just look at me like I'm crazy. But
I love it. I mean, that's I do almost the same thing. Like, I just record my voice, go and write, because like it's like I'm a talker. I'm guessing you're a talker as well, where like you talk and then you record and transcribe. Yeah. Really, really fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. It's easier for me that way. Once I start to put it into words, I start to go into edit mode. Right. And like, I'm like, oh no, it has to be this way. And it like, no, like, just get the thought out. Get the thought out. Listen to it again and then edit it. It's like, oh, way faster. 5 minutes of that. That's I can talk and edit in like 15 minutes. If I had to write the same thing, it'd take me like 3 hours. And maybe it's just the way my brain's wired.
When we come back in just a moment, Sujan is going to share exactly how he got over 40% of new signups for Mailshake from referrals. I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode. The PartnerStack, G2's top-rated partner management platform, is the only partnership platform built for SaaS, designed to deliver predictable revenue and accelerate growth for businesses and their partners. Companies like Intercom, Webflow, and Monday.com use PartnerStack to manage and scale their programs, automating partner onboarding, training, payments, and more to empower their partners' success. The past year alone, partners in the PartnerStack network have generated over $100 million in revenue for programs on PartnerStack. Fully support your partner marketing referral and reseller channel programs from a single platform. Now take the admin work out of your workflows and focus on partner success and scale by automating partner onboarding, attribution, engagement, payouts, and compliance. Now tap into the only global B2B partner network supporting over 500,000 partnerships and counting. If you're ready to scale your revenue to partnerships, visit get.partnerstack.com/GMT to book a demo today, or find the link in the description. Well, let's jump back into my chat with Sujan. So you're putting out a ton of content, you released a product, and you said you got product market fit in 2017. It sounds like the company name changed as well. Like, can you talk a little bit about that evolution? Because like, I'm guessing it's in the same kind of line, but like, can you talk a little bit about evolution from 2017, when you started blogging about this, to now achieving that product market fit?
Yeah. So what happened was, like, we created this tool for content marketing to help you promote content. So you helps you scan our article, identify all the people that were mentioned on the article, and then allows you to reach out to them. via email, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And what ended up happening was that our first part of the product, the finding an email and like identifying people and all that stuff, was weak. It's like probably 70% accuracy, and nobody really hit the second half of the product. The second half of our product was awesome, but just no one sent an email using Mailshake. It would like actually export. And it was called contentmarketer.io at the time. They would export their CSV and then like use another tool. And so we said like, well, this is the part we spent a lot of energy on. Let's just build them as, let's just make them micro tools and launch them for free and help get the usage to drive our main product. And so we did. And the micro tools were a huge hit, to the point where like we could not make them free. It was like costing us too much money to support them. So we immediately said, okay, well, let's just charge money for it. But like the lowest amount we could think of is like $9, I believe, a month, like whatever, under 10 bucks. Like it's the cheapest outreach tool possible. And then we found out after doing more customer interviews. And again, remember, this was during product market fit day. So we got to about 5,000, like over the course of like 3 to 5 months, we got to 5,000 MRR because we had a big launch, you know, and but it got flat and it started going down. And I'm like, what's going on? And it was like going down, up, you know, whatever, just kind of like flailing. And it was because the product, there's some like critical usage issues. And so churn got really high. Or lack of usage, I would say. Anyways, these micro tools, so we launched these micro tools, and within like 30 days, we're like, we can't make this free anymore, let's charge money. And after like maybe a month or so of making it 10 bucks a month or 9 bucks a month, we passed 5K MRR. So our main product, which is five times the amount, is 50 bucks a month, like was growing slower than our like side, you know, random idea. That not random idea is our micro tool. So like, let's just, and like when we did customer interviews, turns out the people who loved the product were not marketing people at all. They were salespeople, and contentmarketer.io is not at all a good name for a sales tool. So we rebranded and we rebuilt a lot. Well, so like, okay, this micro tool worked. Now let's just like get rid of all the other stuff and just double down on this micro tool. And the micro tool's name was Connector. And when we went to launch it, you know, it was like me and Colin. Colin's our, my co-founder. He built the thing. You know, I kind of came up with the idea. He had something similar as an idea. So like we kind of worked together to come up with the idea, understand the problem and whatnot. And anyways, when we went like 2 weeks before launch, and this was like late 2016, we were like, oh shit. Like somebody trademarked Connector. I'm like, oh, that sucks. And I was like, Connector app. And so like, oh crap, like we got everything. It's almost ready to go. Like, you know, and so like, well, what's a good name? I don't know. I think I got some whiskey or something and I came up with Mailshake. Like, I used to work for a domain company back in the day. So I know how to like find people and I know how to get a hold of a domain and buy it for a good price. Let's put it that way, right? So I think we bought Mailshake for $1,000, convinced the guy that like, you know, we're these bootstrap founders and we want to do some shit, whatever, right? Like it was like a good pitch. He was like, okay, fine. Because he wasn't doing anything with it. And so we got it. And so we launched as Mailshake. And honestly, the logo was like a rehash of the Connector logo. I don't know. It was like, you know, kind of three guys in the basement type of thing. And three guys being like our designer was like this other, was Colin's friend. And so, yeah.
Really, really. Thank you for telling that story. Really fascinating. I want to ask about that particular transition because you have people paying for contentmarketer.io, correct? Like, and then now you have to like, oh, by the way, we're changing our names. Like for a lot of people, that's nerve-wracking, right? Like it sounds like you guys did it successfully. Like what kind of things that you did then that you thought was like, oh, we did a good job here. And what are other things that are, oh, shoot, we should have done a better job there in terms of like this rebrand?
For us, it was survival. So it wasn't like loss aversion of like, oh my God, this is going to be, you know, this is going to hurt the main business. How do we do this without killing the main business? We're like, this main business isn't going to go anywhere. Like it's at 5K and it kind of went to like always went through 3 to 5K. We get like spurts of like promotion and traffic. And meanwhile, by the way, like our blog and brand is growing, right? And traffic is growing. So yeah, it was just more like survival mode, right? Like, okay, we need to build a product. It's not, Colin and I are very well like experienced. You know, if we want to go get a job, I'd get a really good job. I'd be like a CMO, VP of marketing, and I'd get paid a lot. Like a 5K a month business, splitting it down the middle doesn't seem like a very, very good use of my time. And so we're like, look, this isn't going to work. We can just kind of put this to side, kill it, sell it, or like, you know, there's this other idea, which is way riskier, which is like, if it doesn't work, we're going to kill the business, but it opens up to this bigger business. And so, yeah, that's what we did. Yeah. And again, like while we're building, you know, so like our competitors, you know, so now Mailshake, fast forward, you know, 5 years, we're a sales engagement tool. You know, we do email outreach. That's the core of like sales engagement, but we also do like, we have a phone dialer, social task, and like SMS. And so like SMS is coming soon. Like there's a whole lot more communication channels. But my point with all this stuff is that like during this time, all of our main competitors launched around the same time. And what I did to like, we already entered a market that was competitive. It wasn't like, we're not a startup that said like, oh, we're going to come up with a new way to do whatever. Right. But like we're competing with Outreach, Salesloft, like this Yesware, MixMax. There's a bunch of startups, but we all kind of started around the same time. The only difference is we took 2 freaking years to get the product market fit. So we're 2 years behind and they're all well-funded. But the reality is like, I like not having funding because I can do whatever the heck I want. And I'm not in this like bootstrap, like lifestyle business mindset. I feel like that has like a little bit of a very bad rep to it. I think I want to grow as fast as I can. Like, you know, we're dumping as much as we can to grow the business, but healthy, right? Profitably. Most funded startups are spending, overspending on 2 things, paid acquisition and or like marketing that their CAC is just ridiculously high. So they're doing that to get market share or development. And again, a lot of development like gets wasted if it doesn't work. So we're like, hey, why don't we just like do all the hard work of product validation, product discovery, and like make sure it's the right product. And so anyways, long story short, while we were doing this, Colin was building, I was talking to customers. While he was building the back end, I was talking to potential customers, competitors, customers. And I was like, what do you love and hate about these tools? And everyone's like, it's so clunky, it's so hard to use. So we're like, okay, perfect. We've got our thing. We're going to make this thing the most easy to use, best UX we can figure out, you know, get this right. So that's what we did. And I don't think we're perfect. I think though, that's our differentiating factor. And that's very core to our business. And so that's kind of how we've stumbled on really like using the product as a growth lever, you know?
Really, really fascinating how like this journey has been like for this, like obviously now since that product market fit, can you share a little bit about like what kind of growth have you seen? I'm guessing it's multiple. It's definitely not 5,000. It's definitely not 5,000 anymore, or else you wouldn't be doing this, I'm guessing. So like, is there anything you can share about like that explosive growth that you've seen since that you've achieved that product market fit?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we're kind of, you know, growing over 2x, I mean like 3, 4, 5x the first couple of years, but we've got fairly healthy growth. And you know, I think we're now 25 people. And we, you know, our goal with Mailshake is to build $100 million organization in business value. So not necessarily that the revenue has to be $100 million, that the value of the business is, and that's goal number one. If there's a possibility for getting $200 million in revenue, that's even better. But like that we're breaking it into chunks so that like, what do we need to do? Again, we're bootstrap, right? So we can't like just say, let's just go get revenue at all costs. Because the playing field, you know, changes. But like the way I look at this is like, it's purely when it comes to funding or not funding, it's purely economics. And do I have like fun, right? Like, so once I, we start with like, once you get funding and I'm not against funding, by the way, it's just that like, when we look at our business, we're like, we don't really have, we already went through the hard part with the cash strap problem. Like funding now wouldn't really enable us to do much more because we already got enough revenue to fund whatever we want to do and cash in the bank. So, but the point is like the numbers when you're bootstrapped can be smaller because your outcome as a founder, you have way more equity. So your outcome is far greater, right? If you look, if you read that book, Lost and Founder by Rand Fishkin, you know, he points out a very particular time where like HubSpot went to go buy him. And if he sold there versus like where they are today, he would make less or like about the same in his equity because of the dilution, right? So I'm a firm believer if I own all of it, like, you know, if I got a $50 million sale, $100 million sale, it won't hit TechCrunch, right? But like it'll hit my bank account. And
that's even better.
So right. I prefer, yeah, I can't buy a McLaren with TechCrunch, you know?
So true. Oh my goodness. You can't buy a McLaren with TechCrunch. So good.
Yeah, you can't, right? But I mean, you probably shouldn't buy a McLaren. It's a complete waste of money, right? It just fuels my energy. So like, I'm aware it's a waste of time, right? Waste of money. But if you're going to waste of money, you should
have fun. All right. Like, so you're seeing this growth. You have amazing big goals. One thing you said earlier, and I was like, what is 40% is from referrals. I'm looking at my, something about 40% and referrals, a friend and colleague, like that's high. I mean, I'm not, probably higher than the most industry standard I've heard. How is that? Like you, what kind of systems like are you doing? Like every time somebody sends something, as I call it, referred, like send by Mailshake. Like what are some things that?
No, there's no gimmicks. I don't mean gimmicks, but there's no levers that like you buy something, you can give it away for, you know, 50% off. There's no referral program. Let's put it that way. It's just goodness of people's hearts, which is amazing. Right. That's the best type. So if we can accelerate it through some other means. But anyways, how is that happening? I think we solved a pretty freaking big pain point for people, and then we made the cost. So there was a very specific plan to catch. So remember, I said we're 2 years behind our competitors. I had a plan to get there to catch up fast in terms of usage and users and revenue, which. I don't know. They're private companies. So I don't know exactly where most of the competitors were at revenue when we got to where we were. But we needed to catch up on users. So we did this crazy AppSumo lifetime deal early on. We did it we got about 6,000 users. They paid us one-time fee of like, I don't know, $40 or something like that. And so that got us 6,000 people talking about our product, right? We said, we're never doing it again. We're going to just close this thing. We're going to brush this thing. We're going to be super quiet about it. We don't want anybody knowing a lifetime deal. We ever had one, right? But that 6,000 users on a product that's easy to use when a lot of other products are clunky creates word of mouth. And so we started measuring, how'd you hear about us? And it was like 50 people every month came from 50 customers signed up paying us. Said, oh, I heard about it from a friend and colleague. And then we started saying who, and we started building a relationship with those who's, right? And that number just kept going up, up and up and up and up and up as the user base grew. So, so the percentage at the time was probably 80% of revenue came from word of mouth, but you know, we're growing at a much lower rate. Now it's like 40%. And that number has kind of like plateaued, went down and then went back up. In terms of percentage. So like the channel has actually grown. But yeah, it's like, we don't do anything. We have no affiliate program. We have no referral program and like no incentives to like recommend people. We launched with 6,000 really, really low cost users. We made the product very, very cheap It was $9 a month. Remember, pricing was our advantage. I was like, to me, it's all losing money until this thing can get big. So how do we catch up? So we made it $9 and we just kept increasing prices to where then to after we did $9 in every year, turned out to be every July for some reason. And it wasn't some reason. Actually, in June, we had a leadership meeting. So like, we were like, yeah, we should probably raise prices. So that we'd go home and then we'd raise prices. But anyways, yeah. And so we're like, let's just raise prices until it becomes an economically stable business. So we're like, let's just, instead of getting funding, let's just build a non-scalable business by charging a ridiculously low rate to fuel word of mouth, right? So low price, flurry of users. So now fast forward, you know, over the last 6 years, we have like 40,000 users using the product, of which 6,000 of them are on free lifetime accounts, which again, we still have to support them. It still costs us money, but that was our marketing channel, right? And probably a few thousand that are paying a ridiculously low price that is not sustainable, but I'll eat that cost. That's cheaper cost to like service those customers than it is to get 50 customers through PPC.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. I really love how you broke that down again. I'm going to start wrapping up. And the one question I ask everybody is if you had one tip or a few tips that you'd like to give to listeners who are right now mainly marketers, but they're also founders, what kind of tip would you leave or what kind of advice would you like to leave them?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think, for founders, start marketing early. Start marketing the day you have the idea, because before you build it, you probably will either validate or invalidate the idea itself, but also you get a head start on making the launch much, much better. For marketers, I suggest thinking about how you can implement growth levers inside your product, how you can make, and the simplest, most impactful growth lever is make your product easier to use. And I'll even break it down even more simpler than that. Reduce the number of clicks, steps it takes to do an activity.
Right.
You want to book a meeting like Calendly? How many clicks does it take to have a successful meeting? Take one step away, take two steps away. The more steps you reduce or the less steps you have, the more of the virality you end up getting. And it's not a one-to-one, there's no perfect math here, but it's simple logic. People don't want to spend more time doing things. You want to spend less time. So make it easy.
I love it. That's a great advice. And just one final question. Where can people find out more about you? And if people want to sign up for Mailshake, where can people find out about Mailshake?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to know anything, so Mailshake.com, if you want to learn about anything sales related, Mailshake.com/blog. We've got a ton of blog content on everything you need to know to like be a good salesperson. If you want to learn about marketing or just kind of my journey as a founder, SujinPatel.com is probably the best place. Hard part here is when I have like 6,000 sites, it feels like 6,000 sites, you know, where do you point people? But yeah, Sujin Patel is kind of where like I share all my stuff about like the hard stuff I learned.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I really, really do appreciate for sharing your stories and your process here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How was that? That was really, really fascinating. Thank you for listening all the way until the end. I learned a ton from Sujin, exactly how he rebranded it, the way that he does his life and organizes it. Really, really inspiring guy. I hope to meet him face-to-face in person one day. Before we end, I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode. Now, this folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. This episode of Growth Marketing Today is brought to you by Partner Stacked. It's G2's number one rated partner management platform. Fully support your partner marketing, referral, and reseller channel programs all from a single platform. Take the admin work out of your workflows and focus on partner success and scale. If you're ready to scale revenue through partnerships, visit get.partnerstack.com/GMT to book a free demo today or find the link in the description right now. Please also support me in these three easy ways. First, you can tell a friend about this. Word of mouth is really one of the best ways to podcast grow. Second, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, whether you're on Apple or right now on Android. Leaving a review does make a big impact. Over 70% of my listeners are on Apple, and it does
get more people to listen in on this podcast show. And third, you can join the Grow Today mailing list where you find out a little bit more about the show and I share a little bit about myself and what's happening in my life. Well, that's it for this episode. Until the next one, keep safe and as always, keep on growing.